Alleluia, Alleluia. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A leper came to Jesus and, kneeling down, begged him, saying, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand, touched the leper, and said to him, "I do will it. Be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then, warning him sternly, Jesus dismissed him at once. He said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The beginning of ordinary time, as the Church helps us to live the common time of the year in a way that will lead us to full communion with God toward holiness. We know what has been happening over these first 3 days in the readings from the letter to the Hebrews described God's extraordinarily loving condescension, his coming into our own world, the eternal Word of God, God's ultimate message, precisely to lead us through suffering of persecutions that the first readers of the letter were enduring, other types of sufferings, to lead us through sufferings to spiritual perfection, by allowing us to unite our sufferings to the eternal high priests. That's the whole setup for this message. And it's absolutely liturgical. Liturgical, not just a liturgy that's happening not just in synagogues and temples and around altars, but throughout life. And after this, the author of the letter to the Hebrews tells us emphatically, "Oh, that today you would hear his voice." Then he reminds us of the words with which we begin every day in Psalm 95. "Harden not your hearts, as at the rebellion in the day of testing in the desert." The rebellion is the word Massa. Day of testing is the word Meribah. "As happened at Massa and Meribah in the desert, where your ancestor tested me and tried me, even though they had seen my works for 40 years. It's tempting for us to just dismiss the words that aren't particularly pleasing to us, that persevering with Christ through various physical, moral, even spiritual sufferings is the way to perfection, is the way to finish the mission he entered the world to inaugurate and entrust to us. And the text doesn't talk about hardening our ears, doesn't talk about hardening our minds, both of which, of course, are possible. But it talks about hardening our hearts. We don't want to listen to the message in our hearts because our love isn't there, our trust isn't there. We know what happened in the desert. God, through the 10 plagues and through many manifestations, freed the Israelites from the Egyptians. They saw what happened to the firstborn children. They saw what happened to the rivers. They saw what happened with the locusts. They saw what happened with the Red Sea. They saw what happened when God rained down manna from heaven every day. They saw what happened when God rained down quails. They saw what happened when Moses struck the rock and it gave forth water. They saw how Mount Sinai would thunder when God was speaking. They saw what happened when Moses descended twice with the Ten Commandments. They saw what happened with the serpents in the desert. They saw it all. And what happened after all of those miracles? They began to grumble. Did God bring us out here to die in the desert? Were there not enough good tombs in Egypt? They began to long for the flesh pots of Egypt. But the real scene of Meribah and Massah in the desert happened when the emissaries that Moses had sent into the Holy Land returned, and they confirmed that it was absolutely as God had said. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, but there were giants there. And if we're going to have to battle them, it's going to be like grasshoppers against giants. We stand no chance. As if the Egyptians weren't stronger than the Canaanites. And they began to totally lose confidence in God despite all that he had done. And they began, even as Numbers 13 and 14 shows us, to want to stone Moses to death out there in the desert for having led them there. And that's why God was pained. What had happened to their hearts, such that even after all God had done, they don't trust him still, as if he weren't stronger himself than the Canaanites and wouldn't be able to deliver on that promise just as he had delivered on so many other promises. That scene of what happened to the Israelites, on which we ponder every day for a reason, is used by the letter to the Hebrews as a moral lesson. Take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you have an evil and unfaithful heart so as to forsake the living God. A heart that hardens to God's word is evil and unfaithful. It's not true to the covenant. But there's also something terribly missing there, because God has given everything to respond in love. And not to respond in love is actually a choice. It's a consent to a temptation to think that God's not going to remain true to who he is and his promises to us moving forward. But it's not just enough to avoid having an evil and unfaithful heart and forsaking the living God. The letter of the Hebrews goes on, encourage yourselves daily while it is still today. Today, if you hear the Lord's voice, harden not your hearts. Encourage yourselves daily. This doesn't just mean encourage yourself in the mirror, but it means encourage each other daily, so that none of you may grow hardened by the deceit of sin. The greatest encouragement we can give to others is our own responsiveness to the word of the Lord, from the heart, with love, with affection, with alacrity. Because we have become partners of Christ, if only we hold the beginning of the reality firm until the end, if only we persevere from the heart until the end, we're partners of Christ, we're co-heirs, we're sharers in everything. We need to encourage each other to remember this reality. And we do each day. We do by our various yeses. We do by the virtues that we have when we experience suffering. We do even by showing up when we could easily be in bed with a terrible cold. We do. Why this is important, shown to us in today's gospel. We've got the great scene of partial faith in the Lord. This leper, totally ostracized from the community, totally ostracized from the temple and the worship of God, whose only associates could be other lepers because they had to be at least 50 feet away from anybody else and ring bells all day saying, unclean, unclean, unclean. This leper comes up to Jesus thinking that Jesus won't reject him, approaches within the 50 feet, kneels down and begs, "If you wish, you can make me clean." It's an amazing confession of faith. I know you can do the humanly impossible, Jesus. But doesn't he has faith in Jesus' power, but not necessarily in his heart. If you wish, you can do this. Jesus, moved with pity, stretches out his hand and touches the leper, making himself, in a sense, unclean. It's a symbol of all Jesus does in taking on our humanity. He touches us in all our leprosy, precisely in order to cleanse us. It says to the man, "I will do it. I want it. Be made clean. Be healed." We know that that's exactly when the miracle occurred. But Jesus worked all his miracles in order to bring about an even deeper recreation. Recreation by faith. So he gave his word to this former leper. First, in order for you to be integrated in the community, you've got to go show yourself to the priest, because the priests were the educated class, and the priests would be the ones who would be able, with authority, to be able to say to the whole community, this man really is no longer a leper. He will be integrated again. So go do that. But tell no one anything. Don't spread it. The reason why Jesus would give these commands with a lot of the miracles in his early public ministry is twofold. He didn't want to be considered the ancient doctor, Doolittle, Hippocrates, etc., somebody who would come solely for physical miracles, so that people would use him, in a sense, just for that. But then second was political. He didn't want everybody looking at him according to their own categories of the Messiah, that after 1,000 years, finally David's son would come and expunge the Romans and put us back in political power. He wanted people to accept him on his own terms, and he had come not precisely as a free and awesome doctor and not as a political leader, but as a savior from an illness far greater than leprosy, and establish an order that will last far more than any earthly realm. Don't tell anybody anything, lest they misinterpret why I'm here, and I have to deal with that rather than advance the kingdom. And what does the leper do? He goes away and immediately begins to publicize the whole matter because of his own ego. It wasn't so much trying to spread love of the Lord. It wasn't trying to advance the Lord's kingdom, but it's, look at me. I have been cured. I am back and integrated in the community. I. We see that even though his flesh was like a little baby's, his heart was leprotic. His heart was hardened. Not fully hardened, because he had enough trust in the Lord that the Lord at least had the power to do what the Lord ended up doing. But he really didn't want to listen with the heart to what the Lord was saying. He didn't really love the Lord. He'd used the Lord for his healing, but that's basically where it stopped. He didn't really want to enter into that relationship with the Lord with a trusting obedience from the heart on out. And sometimes that can likewise impact all of us. We will partially trust in the Lord, but not fully. We will come to him with our petitions, knowing that he has the ability to do it. But when he tells us something that goes against the way we think things ought to be done, or we want to do things, we partially ignore, because one of our atria or one of our ventricles really isn't attuned to the divine frequency. And so we'll ignore Jesus' word to forgive 70 times, 7 times. We'll ignore his summons to go the path of the grain of wheat and fall to the ground and die. will grumble that after this type of commitment that we've made to you, how come all of these other things that seem to me contradictions to it have been allowed to occur to me, where I'm not walking on a yellow brick road, where I've constantly got a cross that sometimes weighs me down and makes me fall. We can approach the Lord with a partially leprotic heart. But, and here's the good news, the Lord comes to meet us again today, and he says to us, I do will it, be made clean. He's capable of doing an even greater miracle for us than he did for the leper in the gospel. And what he's not going to do is he's not going to tell us, tell no one anything. He's going to tell us the exact opposite. Go to the whole world and announce the gospel to every creature, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and instructing them to carry out everything I have commanded you, knowing that I'm with you always until the end of the age. That's the command he's going to give us. May we, as we come here today, approach him not just with the faith in his power that we see in the leper, but with the listening, softened, liquid heart that can receive his divine outpouring with all the healing that is contained therein. Change us so much that that outpouring continues through us for the world. If today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts.